It's okay. Let's see. Good morning.
Morning.
You may have a seat. And before I begin, we will hear a section of a song that we previously sang. It's Forever. And I was sharing with Genesis that while I was preparing and finalizing my sermon, I was listening to that song, and I was like, I wish we can sing this tomorrow. And I didn't know that it was one of the songs that Genesis had on the list. So I was like, okay, Lord, so you are telling me something with this. And the section that I was thinking and I was meditating is the section that I will present it right now, okay? So let's listen. Let's pay attention to what he says, okay?
If there are words for him, then I don't have them. You see, my brain has not yet reached a point where it can form a thought that could adequately describe the greatness of my God. And my lungs have not yet developed the ability to release a breath with enough agility to breathe out the greatness of his love. And my voice, you see, my voice is so inhibited, restrained by human limits, that it's hard to even send the praise up. You see, if there are words for him, then I don't have them. My God, his grace is remarkable. Mercies are innumerable. Strength is impenetrable. He is honorable, accountable, favorable. He's unsearchable yet knowable. Indefinable yet approachable. Indescribable yet personal. He is beyond comprehension, further than imagination. Constant through generations, king of every nation. But if there are words for him, then I don't have them. You see, my words are few. And to try and capture the one true God using my vocabulary would never do. But I use words as an expression of worship to a Savior who is both worthy and deserving of my praise. So I use words. My heart extols the Lord, blesses his name forever. He has won my heart, captured my mind, and has bound them both together. He has defeated me in my rebellion, conquered me in my sin. He has welcomed me into his presence, completely invited me in. He has made himself the object of my sight, flooding me with mercies in the morning, drowning me with grace in the night. But if there are words for him, then I don't have them. But what I do have is good news. For my God knew that man-made words would never do. For words are just tools that we use to point to the truth. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, as the word, living proof. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, giving nothingness formation. And by his word he sustains in the power of his name. For he is before all things, and over all things he reigns. Holy is his name, so praise him for his life. The way he persevered in strife, the humble Son of God becoming the perfect sacrifice, praise him for his death. That he willingly stood in our place, that he lovingly endured the grave, that he battled our enemy and on the third day rose in victory. He is everything that was promised. Praise him as a risen king. Lift your voice and sing. For one day he will return for us, and we will finally be united with our Savior for eternity. Eternity. So it's not just words that I proclaim. For my words point to the word, and the word has a name. Hope has a name. Joy has a name. Peace has a name. Love has a name. Jesus Christ, praise his name forever.
That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we worship. That's the God that we need to know, that we need to acknowledge. If you are here this morning, I pray that you really know that God, the only God. And now that we are about to start the study of the Ten Commandments, my prayer is that your heart is softened, that God can be in your heart, that you be receptive, that you oversee the mistakes that maybe the preachers can do or say, but that you receive the word of God. That's my prayer. And I will ask you to open your Bibles in Exodus 20. Exodus 20, 1 through 3. Do you have it? Amen? Okay. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. Do not have other gods besides me. That's the first commandment. Do not have other gods beside me. And before I move forward to that first commandment, let's recap what Dr. Becken preached last Sunday. Who were here? Okay, what you can remember about that, about his message? If you want to share. Sandra? Gomez.
Oh, you want me to share?
You said yes. If I want to share. Well, you are the exception.
He gave us a little card that talked about the moral compass and how the Ten Commandments are our moral compass.
Okay, great. I remember one thing, and he said that God is an absolute. That means that it's unchangeable. He talked about the existence of the God. Not a God, but the God. And he shared also that the first four commandments has to do with our relationship with God, the first four. And the last six, it has to do with our horizontal relationship, which is with others, right? And he also said that the purpose of the commandments, and maybe I'm not saying the exact words, but this is what I got, is that show us the sinfulness of the human beings. It shows that we are sinners. James 2:10 reads, "For whoever keeps the entire law, yet fails in one point, is guilty of breaking it all." So if we cannot keep all of them, then we're guilty. We're sinners. He also mentioned that since we are guilty, then we need a mediator. And who is our mediator? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And he confirmed it when he replied to the one of the Pharisees, saying, "Don't assume that I came to destroy the law or to the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill it." Why? Because he was going to be a redeemer. He is a redeemer. So we're here guilty, but he comes and saves us from that judgment and give us eternal life. And lastly, the commandments are the guidelines. It's the moral law where we should abide, that we up to follow to have that relationship with God. So maybe you can say, well, but this is in the Old Testament. These Ten Commandments were given to the children of Israel. We are in a new age, so we shouldn't, you know, follow or obey these commandments. Maybe some people think about that or think like that. But Jesus said, in the New Testament, right? He is not in the Old Testament, but he supported, he confirmed it, that the Ten Commandments are summed up in two. Which one they are? Does somebody remember? Mm-hmm. The first great commandment is to love the Lord. The Lord your God, with all your heart, that means with all your emotions. As you cheer up when Mexico is playing, when the Astros is playing, when the Rockets are playing, when you go and you know, go to your favorite singer concert. I don't think you are like this if you are watching your favorite team at, you know, either soccer or whatever sport do you like. You are like with the with your emotions, right? Up. And you scream and you laugh and you are happy. And that's the same attitude that God is waiting for us to worship him with all our heart. It doesn't say with all of your heart, worship me or love me. No, with all your heart, with all your emotions, with all your soul. That means with every single part of your being, every single part of your body, and with all your mind. With all your reasons, we are thinking people. We don't act like animals, right? They act because they're instinct. But we have rationale. So when we are here, we're thinking and we are worshiping God with all our mind. And in another gospel says, with all your strength, physical strength. So God wants us to love him with everything we are, with everything we have. And we have and we are because he has given us the identity, and he has given us all we have. Our voice, our senses. He has created us. And what is the second? And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. And we can find that in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. So, the second commandment. Do you love your neighbor? Do you love your brother, your sister in Christ? Because if you don't love your neighbor, then you are guilty. We are guilty of the second greatest commandment. We cannot say my vertical relationship is awesome, is great, and then hate your brother or sister, or hate your neighbor because he's from another country, another race, or speak a different language, or think differently than you. So, I got this from the teaching of Dr. Becken, and that's only a review for those who didn't come last week. And there was so much. It was much, much, much more. It was awesome. Thank you, Dr. Becken, for that message. So now, let's begin with the first commandment, which is love your God. And if we love our God, that God, the only God, and we see in the Bible that we find other gods, like Exodus 23 says, do not have other gods beside me. But you know what? That's something that the human being has made. God didn't make other gods. That's something that man invented. And God is telling the children of Israel, I am the Lord. The Lord, your God. And when he speaks, if you pay attention how this chapter begins, is then God spoke all these words. He spoke. And you will say, but he doesn't have a voice because he doesn't have a body. But he's sovereign. He's omnipotent, and he can communicate with his creatures. So when we read this, we need to pay attention. When Sister Briseño says, Natalia, come and wash the dishes. What Natalia is going to do? First of all, recognize that her mother is talking. And second, that her mother has authority. If I go to her house and I say, Natalia, wash the dishes, what Natalia is going to do? Who are you to send me to wash the dishes? You're not my mom, right? So here, God is speaking. The Creator, the God is speaking. So we better pay attention. And what it says to the children of Israel is, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Do you remember what was the situation of the Hebrews in the land of Egypt? What was happening? They were slaves. They were mistreated. They were abused with, you know, heavy labors. They were in a situation where they cry out to the Lord and said, save us. And then God chose Moses and told Moses, I have heard my people, the cry of my people. And he guided, he sent Moses to save them from that land. But he also says, out of the place of slavery. Egypt was a country full of idolatry. So they were involved in idolatry. They worshiped animals. They had made God. But remember that they were not God's people. But I'm pretty sure that some of his children were doing that too. Because then how we explain that they asked Aaron to build the golden calf. They learned something from the country where they live. And they, you know, got that. So God is telling them, hey, wait a minute. I'm your Lord, first of all. And I have taken out from a country that is full of idolatry. And you were slave. You were not just living there, but you were slave. Is that what Jesus Christ has done with our life? He has brought us out from the world. And he has saved us from slavery, from sin, from the world. And he has given us life. They were dying in this land, but they were brought out to have a new life. And that's a reminder to the way how God saved them with great signs. Remember the 10 plagues? No one else could do that but God. And he was with them all the way. But the children of Israel needed to know that they must not have other gods. Why is that? What do you think? God started with that. Do not have other gods besides me. Do not have. He's a jealous God. And he is worthy and he wants all the glory. Not other gods. Do not have. What do you have? When I ask Sophia, what do you have, Sophia? What are you going to reply, Sophia? Just what you have in general. You have your purse because it's yours, right? You have your phone. You have your clothes. So have means possession. And we sometimes possess gods. Maybe not like I'm not worship this image, right? You won't see me worshiping this soldier, something visual, even though people want to see something to worship. God is invisible. But I might have other gods. And what gods can be? Work, Yes. Computer. Yes.
The.
Yes. That's right. What else? The phone. Money. Friends. Thomas Watson, in his book, The Ten Commandments, aware us of type of gods in our life. And he shared the following. Putting your trust in anything than God is to make it a god. Put your trust in anything that you make it a god. Put your trust in people is to make it a god. Sometimes we trust more in people than God. And Jeremiah 17:5 says, this is what the Lord says, the man who trusts in mankind, who makes human flesh his strength and turns his heart from the Lord, is cursed. So we need to be careful and not to just trust people, but you trust God first. And you can avoid a big disappointment in your life if you put your trust in God rather than people. And beside that, God is won't like that. Trust in your wisdom is to make it a god. Oh, I'm smart. Oh, yeah. I know how to deal, how to deal with this situation because I'm wise. Sometimes we are like that. I have it covered. Don't worry. I'll take care of it because I'm smart. Have you seen that? Have you done that? Jeremiah 9:23 says, this is what the Lord says. The wise man must not boast in his wisdom. The strong man must not boast in his strength. The wealthy man must not boast in his wealth. But we boast in Jesus Christ because he is worthy, not us. So be careful where you put your trust. Don't put it in anything, other than God. Don't put your trust in people because you are making people a god. Don't trust in your wisdom because then that's going to be your god. Sometimes we trust in civility. What I mean with that, I'm better than others. I'm a better citizen of this country than other people. Remember the Pharisee who prayed, oh, Lord, I thank you. I thank you because I'm not like this, person here, tax collector, or I am better. And we believe that lie. No, the only good is God. So we need to be careful with that. Another God that we can have, trust in your duties, is to make it a God. What do I mean with that? That everything that you do good, everything good things that you do, and you boast on it, then you are making a God. Isaiah says that even the best thing that we do are like trash before the sight of the Lord. So we shouldn't be trusting the good things that we do. I'm not telling you don't do good, but don't trust in the good that you do to others. Another gap. Trust in your grace is to make it a God. What that means? David says, "Vindicate me, Lord, because I have lived with integrity and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Another version says, because I have walked in integrity. But David is not putting his trust in the integrity. He has not put his trust in how he was with the Lord, but he trusts in the Lord. Love anything more than God is to make it a God. Do you love to spend time in the computer that take you the time to read the Bible? Do you love the games, the video games, more than reading the Bible? Do you love more, what else? What do you love? Do you love more eating than the Lord? Do you love more money than the Lord? Do you love more your car than the Lord? Do you love your possessions more than the Lord? What else do you love? Yes. And that's one of the points that I have here. When we love our children more than God, and thus put them as our God. It can be our children, it can be our nephew, our niece, our parents, it can be our loved one. That's very dangerous. With family is very dangerous, because who is the one who has given you the children? Who is the one that has given you your parents, your family? It's the Lord. It's God. And we tend to worship not the one who has given us the treasure, but we end up worshiping the treasure that he has given us. So we need to be careful. Who is our God? His word says, God speak. God is talking to us this morning that he do not want us to have other gods beside or before him. What besides or before him means? That I can hide and worship all these things, but I can hide from him because he is omnipresent. He is, you know, he sees all. So sometimes we say, oh, but if the church doesn't know, I'm okay. I have my little God. I have my little image. I have my idols. But you don't have to hide from people. you need to do the right thing before God. Because he is the one who created you, and he is the one speaking to you saying, do not have other gods beside me. For example, if I get married, or when I get married, let me correct. When I get married, I can legally be a wife of one husband, right? I cannot have legally two husbands. When we enter to this holy covenant with God and we have accepted him as our Lord, as our God, then why in the world we will have another husband? That means another gods. Do you think that your legal husband, which is God, will be happy about that? Or, you know, married brothers that are here, will you be happy if your wife has another husband? Of course not. That's unacceptable, right? Well, what will make us think that God will accept that we are unfaithfulness to him? That's why he insists, and that's the first commandment. Because if we have him as our God, we must not have other gods. And how you are going to be faithful to him? If you love him. And how you will demonstrate that you love him? If you obey his commandments. So, I would like for you this morning to think about those little things that are taking most of your time. And these things don't allow you to spend time with God through the reading of his word, through worshiping. You don't have to wait to come here to worship God. You can do it in your home. To really have that experience with God, that fellowship with God. I don't want to put you on the spot, and you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you had the time to read the Bible scripture this week? That should answer the question, who is your God? If you are thinking, well, I had to work overtime, so I didn't have time to read it. Well, I already start school and I have a lot of homework. Well, I was so tired to read it, so I went to sleep. Even sleep can be your God. Then you have to reevaluate your life and put everything in order. Put who is or what is your priority. And as we can see, do not have other gods before God is one priority. It's the first commandment. It's the first greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And then everything else will be in the list. There is no other than God. no one is like him because there is no other real God. We can create idols, but only God is the true living God. I would like to finish by saying or by reading if I can find my Joshua 15:24 reads, "If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." If we love God, we will obey his commandment. And if we obey his commandment, we will serve him. We will decide to serve him. But you have to choose. He is not going to force you to do that. That's why he has giving you, free will to do it. So I hope you choose to love God, to obey God, and to serve him, because he is the only one who is worthy of your worship, of your service, of everything. And as a prayer, I would like us to hear one song. It's "Not Like You." You can close your eyes and pray to God that he show you what gods you have to remove from your life and to put him back where he should be, which is in the center of your life, the first one in your life, the first one in your priority list. So let's listen to the song.
Like you, no one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. There is none more. There is none like you.
Heavenly Father, we recognize, Lord, that there is none like you, that we can search in other places, in other people, in the treasures of this world, but we won't find you there. These are only God's. And Lord, this morning, we recognize that you are the Lord, that you are our God. And we praise you and we thank you for the life that you have given us. Not just the physical life that we have this morning, but that eternal life that we have through Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that this morning we can pull out any gods that we may have in our life, and that you be the center of our life, that we love you, that we obey you, and that we serve you, because only you are worthy of everything. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.